It's the countdown to Christmas.
Yes, the time has come.
4 episodes to go.
Until all the holly jolly fun.
Sit back and listen.
No need to fear.
Unless you've been naughty.
Then Belschnickel
and Zwart Pete might switch your rear.
We switch you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Nintendo Switch.
No, not a Nintendo Switch. A Pennsylvania Dutch Switch. Dab.
Dabbing on them haters. Welcome back to the Bug in a Rug podcast. My name's Caitlin.
I'm probably not Belschnickel. I'm Whitney. Who, you caught me.
Who's Belschnickel?
Belschnickel? Well, don't you want to know?
Belschnickel. Belschnickel. Is it schnickel or a snickel? Belschnickel.
I have no possible way of knowing that.
Welcome to the 3rd episode of our countdown to Christmas.
Woot woot.
Yeah, I hope you guys are getting ready. It's the weekend before. Make sure you get all your shopping done. Make sure you get all your travel plans situated.
Leave early.
Leave early. Pee be careful on those
go. Roads. Pee before you go. Take a water or a snack.
Yeah.
You never know if you'll get stuck in traffic, and then you can always use that water bottle for pee.
No. No. Ew.
Anyway, today's going to be a little bit different. I'm really excited. Mm-hmm. We've decided to split this episode.
Yes.
I'm going to do the first half of the episode, and Caitlin is going to do the second half.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Hopefully you can come up with a Christmas carol that's as good as mine.
Oh, I wasn't going to sing one.
You're ruining tradition.
I'm sorry.
The tradition that I just started, you're ruining it.
I'm so sorry.
Anyway, so, our goal is to tell each other a story today that could keep us up at night, but hopefully after this, we will still be able to sleep as snug as bugs in rugs.
Yes.
Not doing drugs.
But no.
Bunch of thugs.
No, not that either.
I can't think of any more.
Give lots of hugs.
Give lots of hugs. Don't do drugs. Sleep snug as bugs in rugs. That's good.
There we go.
There we go. I don't know what we can use that for, but write that down.
Write that down. Cooper, write that down.
Cooper? All right. So, are you ready?
I'm ready, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about Belschnickel in case you didn't already know.
I knew.
He's here to switch you a Merry Christmas.
Okay.
So what I mean by that is that Belschnickel, who is a Pennsylvania Dutch tradition, people from southwestern Germany, when they immigrated to Pennsylvania, they brought this tradition with them.
Okay.
Some places say that it's like a Swiss German tradition, but I've spoken to one of my friends who is from Germany, Michael, and he told me that not all of Germany celebrates this. It's very regionally specific to southwestern Germany.
Yeah, I'm sure that goes true for a lot of Christmas figures that aren't as well known.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, not everybody would celebrate Krampus. Not everybody would celebrate, you know what I mean? Some other stuff that we've talked about.
Right. So, I know we haven't talked about Krampus yet, but Belschnickel is kind of mixed between him and Santa Claus.
Okay.
So, it's a really strange
He's a mix?
Yeah, he's a mix between the two. Bells means fur, and nickel refers to Saint Nicholas.
Yeah.
So, Belschnickel.
Oh. So, furry bell.
Furry, no. Furry Saint Nicholas.
Furry.
A furry nickel. No. Furry Saint Nick. Furry Santa.
Santa's already furry, though. He's got a beard and...
Well, the idea is that he wears, like, lots of furs, like, okay, all over him, dark-colored furs. He's a mix between Santa and Krampus, but he might also be based on Rupert the Servant, who in some traditions was a servant to St. Nicholas.
Oh, okay.
So he kind of did whatever St. Nicholas or Santa wanted done.
Okay.
But he dresses in dark furs, and he looks very outdoorsy.
Okay.
Like, if you picture, like, a hunter-trapper person that wears a lot of furs, that's, like, what
Belshnevel's
depicted.
Okay, sure.
So, why I say we switch you Merry Christmas is because Belshnevel will tap on doors and windows with the switch he carries.
Oh.
So, he carries a big bag of toys, and he carries a switch in the other hand. And the idea is that he will go around your house, and he'll tap on the windows, you know, tap on the doors, and then suddenly he'll burst into the house.
Okay.
And he'll start drilling the children there with questions about their naughtiness and niceness. Like, have you done your chores without complaining? Have you been nice to your brothers and sisters? Have you respected your elders? Have you cleaned your room? Have you done something nice for someone else? If you can't answer truthfully, or if you've been bad, you are threatened with the switch.
I'd get threatened with the switch.
I would definitely get threatened with the switch. But if you're good, you get treats from the sack he carries. So this could be toys, but it's traditionally things more like figs and sweets.
Okay, yeah, like little candy.
Yeah. There is a book called Christmas in Pennsylvania, a folk cultural study, and it is written by Alfred Shoemaker and Don Yoder. And I'm going to read a quote from that because it kind of describes a little bit better the Belshnevel character.
Sure.
Also, Belshnevel's gender neutral.
Okay.
Which I just think is nice. Anyway.
I wasn't picturing it as anything, honestly.
Belshnevel's Belshnevel.
Just an entity.
They, them. Their pronouns are they, them. It says he or she, they or them, would be equipped with an ample sack about the shoulders filled with cakes, nuts, and fruits, and a long hazel switch which was supposed to have some kind of charm in it as well as sting. One would scatter the goodies upon the floor, and then the scramble would begin by the delighted children. In the other hand would ply the switch upon the backs of excited youngsters who would not show a wince. So, if you've been good, he lets you go for all the toys. If you've been bad, then it still sounds like you still get to reach for the toys, but you might get switched as well.
He, like, lets you think you get it, but then it's like, whatcha?
Yes. In 1820, so this tradition goes back a long time.
Right.
In 1827, a Philadelphia, Pennsylvania newspaper described the Belshnevel appearance like this. Mr. Belshnevel makes his personal appearance in skins or old clothes, his face black, a bell, a whip, and a pocket full of cakes and nuts, and either the cakes or the whip are bestowed upon those around, as may seem to meet his sable majesty.
Mm. Okay. So is it a person, or is he a, he or she a monster?
No, it's supposed to be a figure like Santa Claus.
Okay.
It is a type of person.
Okay, I just didn't know if it was like Krampus. You know what I mean?
No. It's more of a
but then it was based on that servant
figure.
Guy, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's supposed to be more of the
interesting
a darker version of Santa. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. Not only you don't just get coals and sticks in your stockings, you could get switched.
Right.
Belshnevel used to be more mischievous than now. Now it's more of a, we're carrying on the tradition and it's for show.
Right.
But it used to be that he would carry he or she would carry chains with them and rattle them around and commit acts of vandalism and some, quote, light home invasions.
What? You can't do that.
Since
Belshnevel's here.
Belshnevel's here. Give me your beer.
Count the table, 50 points.
Heavy drinking was popular in this culture around Christmas, so it was like people would dress up in furs and chains and grab a switch and a bag, and they were to run around town pretending to be Belshnevel, but they would vandalize things and break into house. Well, I mean, he kind of does. He
taps
on your knees and then he bursts through the
door.
That
is the Belshnevel. That's not people dressing up as Belshnevel.
Well, it's the tradition, though. So if you're, instead of pretending to be Santa, and get your kids go to the mall and you take your picture with him, he just bursts into your house.
Yeah, but if people dress up as Santa, they can't climb down your chimney. That's still a home invasion.
Well, I'm sure that there's stories where people have done that. Now, there is a little tiny bit of what could be portrayed as racism mm-hmm. with Belschnickel.
Okay.
Because traditionally, they wear dark furs, and they have a black across their face. Or okay. they make their face dark, is what I saw.
Black face.
It's a little bit, it might be a little bit, I don't know if this is all traditions, or like, they're supposed to look dirty, though.
Okay.
They're supposed to look like they live in the woods.
Okay.
But some pictures of them, it's a little...
Are they mixed up mud on your face and...
Black paint. So, anywho, what do you think of Mr. B? Ho, ho, ho. So, one reason that I wanted to do Belschnickel is that I think he's slightly more well-known. We probably wouldn't have realized... You wouldn't have known who he was.
No, I didn't.
Anybody who has ever watched the show called The Office...
Yeah, don't come for me. I don't watch it.
You don't watch it. I do, and I have. And one year, Dwight Schrute actually... is put in charge of Christmas, and he wants to do a traditional Pennsylvania Dutch yeah. Christmas, because that's what he is.
So you had to have Belschnickel.
So he dresses up like Belschnickel, and when he goes around, and he's like, for the boys and girls who have been bad, they get the switch.
Oh,
like, he kind of talks about this, and everybody freaks out, and they're mad, because they're like, that's not Christmas.
Yeah. Well, for some people it is, though.
For some people it is. But he wants to play, and I don't remember what the games and stuff are that he wants to play, but it's like, he wants to play these traditional Dutch-German games.
Right.
When they finally come around and are like, all right, Dwight, do Christmas however you want.
Yeah.
But it's like Switch or something. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's like basically, it's almost a Russian roulette of whether you get a present or a Switch.
Right.
That he talks about. It's really...
I think that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. So, he's like, you don't know. He's saying he'll decide whether or not people in the office get a present or get the Switch. But it's really funny. It's an episode we should probably watch because I think you might actually like it.
Probably enjoy it, yeah. That's the one that's going to get me hooked on
that. So whenever I started reading about Belschnickel, I was like, oh my gosh, I know what this is.
Right.
Because I hadn't put it together before. But
that's awesome.
So Furry St. Nicholas, the Belschnickel, he will switch you a Merry Christmas. He or she will switch you a Merry Christmas. And
switch you a Merry Christmas.
A Happy New Year.
And a Happy New Year. All right.
So that's the end of my story.
And the beginning of mine.
And the beginning of yours.
Well, I like how you kind of introduced mine a little bit by talking about racism.
Oh, no, wait.
So I'm going to be talking about Zwarte Piet, a.k.a. Black Peter.
That doesn't sound Christmassy.
So... I'm going to do a little bit of background because some of the things they talk about, what Zwarte Piet does kind of goes along with it.
Mm.
So, we're going to start with that.
Is this actually a Christmas person or did you just look up racist stories?
No, it's a Christmas person.
Okay.
So, in Dutch tradition, Sinterklaas is a legendary Christmas figure. That's Sinterklaas, Sinterklaas. He's based on St. Nicholas and very similar to what we know as Santa Claus.
Okay.
However, he is more serious since he dons a bishop's headdress and carries a shepherd's staff. Oh. So it's more serious in, like, the biblical way.
He's
not, like, his demeanor.
He's probably closer to actual what St. Nicholas would have been.
Right, more like St. Nicholas, not like Santa Claus. Right, okay. Exactly. So Sinterklaas spent his life giving away his money to the poor and doing good deeds. So his life is celebrated on December 5th and 6th as a giant feast. However, many people celebrate this holiday without any religious connotations by exchanging gifts and chocolate letters, writing humorous poetry about the one receiving it, and giving gag gifts.
Is this in a particular area?
Dutch tradition. Yeah.
Oh, I'm Pennsylvania Dutch, and you're just Dutch.
Yes.
All right.
So Sinterklaas will ride a white horse to the homes of children. He has decided whether they were naughty or nice in his red book. So children will place carrots and hay in their shoes. They'll leave, like, their shoes out, put carrots or hay in their shoes for the horse. And so they hope that the horse will eat the hay or carrots, and then Sinterklaas will leave gifts in their place if they were good. So these traditions might have been brought over to America and mixed with Catholic traditions to form the Santa Claus that we know now. So,
okay.
While we all know Santa's helpers now are widely considered to be elves, at one point in time, he did have another partner in crime.
Belschnickel. He did the crime.
It is like Belschnickel. Oh, okay. So in Holland in the 15th century, Zwart Piet or Black Peter was thought to be St. Nicholas's other half. So, like, Belschnickel would have been in German tradition.
Mm-hmm.
This is in Holland.
Okay.
So, Santa would watch over the nice children, but Black Peter took special care of those who had been naughty. Belschnickel kind of did the same thing.
Yeah.
So, one of the... what some people think the idea of Black Peter came from was the Wild Hunt of Odin. So, the Wild Hunt of Odin is a big picture, and it depicts the Norse god... of the wind and dead, Odin, commanding a wild hunt across a midwinter sky. Close beside is his two black ravens, and they are supposed to go ahead of Odin, seek out mortals that have been bad, and then Odin and the rest of his party in the wild hunt would send them to the underworld.
Oh.
So it is kind of thought that Black Peter might be a resemblance of the ravens that helped Odin seek out those who had been naughty.
Okay.
So he became infamous after a school teacher, Jan Schenkman, wrote a book in 1850 describing Black Peter and what he does. So that is when a lot of people read the book and were like, oh my gosh, like Black Peter's a thing.
Okay. Interesting.
So... in the beginning, Black Peter was described as tall and gaunt with a dark beard and hair. So a lot of people thought he looked like a Spaniard.
Hmm.
And he was described this way because during this time, Spain was actually occupying the Netherlands.
Okay.
So he kind of resembled a Spaniard.
Okay.
He was also thought to maybe be a pirate. Hmm. So he was usually drawn or depicted as a Spaniard in pirate clothing.
Interesting. Very interesting mix of
two. Yeah, yeah. So no matter if he was from land or sea, he usually carried a large stick and bag, like Belschnickel.
Uh-huh.
So he used these instruments to steal bad children, take them to Spain, and beat them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so it's a little bit worse than Belschnickel.
Just a little.
So because if they were naughty, he would use the stick. Some stories say he would just... switch them, beat them with a stick, whatever.
Yeah.
Some say they would put him in his bag and take him back to Spain and beat them, and some say he would put him in his bag and drag them back to hell.
Wow.
Who knows?
Who knows? This is intense.
So because of this behavior, Black Peter became a euphemism for the devil, while St. Nicholas was a representation of good. Mm-hmm. So it kind of became this story that they worked together in a way, that Santa told Black Peter what to do because Santa was a representation of St. Nicholas, representation by extension of God,
right.
Good. And then he had beaten Black Peter, not literally, but like good versus evil, good always wins out. So Black Peter had to be Santa or Sinterklaas's servant because he was evil.
Yeah.
So, Santa got to give out gifts, while Black Peter gave out coal or beatings. And a lot of people called him, quote-unquote, Sinterklaas's enforcer.
Ooh, I kind of like that, though.
Yeah, like Santa Claus has an enforcer.
Santa Claus needed some muscle.
Right, right. He's there as a bodyguard and to make sure the rules are being followed.
Wow.
So... the idea of Black Peter changed in the 19th century as the political climate shifted. So during the height of imperialism, Zwart Piet was depicted as an Indian or African in traditional dress. So I had to look up like this time period for Dutch and Holland and the Netherlands. Apparently, they were trying to get out of Britain's control, someone's control, and take control of land that they thought they owned. And so it was kind of a time of trying to get land from Everybody's trying to get it. Right, yeah, and get out and become their own thing.
Right. They're trying to extend their empire, basically.
Right, exactly. So during this time, instead of being the devil and being like a servant of good, he was now a slave of Sinterklaas.
Ooh.
Or a willing servant, quote unquote. But it gets worse.
Oh, how can it get worse?
So, during this time, Black Peter was often shown to be wearing shackles and tattered garments. So, some people say, quote unquote, willing servant, but...
You're wearing shackles.
Yeah. So...
Wow.
So, his job was now to remove the hay and carrots from shoes left by the children and either replace it with candy or gifts. Or rods and coal. Mm. So he didn't necessarily beat the shit out of kids anymore.
Well, there's a silver lining, I suppose.
Just a little fact to hit home of how he was probably depicted more of a slave rather than a willing servant.
If the shackles didn't do it for you.
Yeah. So slavery was not abolished until 1863 in the Netherlands. And they were actually deeply involved in the transatlantic slave trade, and they gained a lot of money by selling enslaved people to the United States or to Dutch colonies. So, also, American blackface minstrel shows toured throughout Europe during this time. These were shows consisting of comic skits, variety acts, dancing, and music performances, but people, it often depicted people of African descent. So, people either made them do it or they dressed up in blackface.
Oh man, not again.
So in Austria, Germany, Switzerland, Black Peter was more of a literal monster. The character often had horns, long hair, and a red tongue. Many of us today would recognize this being as Klaubolf, Krampus, Grampus, or Bartel. Whichever name you choose, their sole purpose was to take care of the naughty children. A little bit better than what we got going on here.
Yeah, in the Netherlands.
So nowadays, Black Peter is usually adorned with Renaissance-style costumes, including short pants, stockings, and a cap with a large feather. I'm not really sure how that came about, but I do know that they were trying... It kind of changed into making him more of like an elf-like figure.
Yeah.
Rather than like a pirate or a slave.
It almost sounds more like a jester.
Yeah, or a jester, I guess. Yeah. That would make sense. Yeah, so that's kind of what the idea was, but mm-hmm. he's not an elf, but they needed him to look more happy, I guess.
Is he still blackface, though?
Well.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Aw, beans.
When they do the Feast of Sinterklaas, December 5th and 6th,
mm-hmm.
usually there's, like, huge parades.
Okay.
Like, leading up to the feast week of the feast. And
like
so...
Like Mardi Gras, but bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Or, like, the Thanksgiving Day parade, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Zwart Piet, or those dressed up as Zwart Piet, would arrive, and there's, like, a lot of people who dress up like him in the parade, and then Sinterklaas would be in the parade as well. So okay. It's just kind of a big celebration.
It's like Santa and his elves, but it's...
Yeah, pretty much. Because they would, like, in the parades, Zwart Piet would often, or those who dressed up like him, there's not just one,
right?
Would give candy to kids and stuff like that, make it a big celebration. So, unfortunately, though, not all of the past traditions have gone away, like we just stated.
Mm.
He's usually still portrayed as an African, so whomever is acting as Zwart Piet normally wears blackface.
Mm.
So, now you all may be wondering, we've kind of hinted about it before, is this racist? The answer is yes.
Yes, it is.
The answer is yes.
I'm glad you said that, because I was like, yeah.
This is yes. So... I think it is because if you look into it, he's based on a slave. Like he changed from the Spaniard pirate to a slave. So I think, yeah, like that's, you know what I mean?
Right. To an African slave specifically. So
right.
They did it. They were constantly, even when he was dressed as a Spaniard, it was...
A little bit,
right?
I mean, because they didn't like Spaniards because they were occupying the Netherlands. So it was kind of like a thing... the Spaniards are bad, so Zwart Pete looked like them because he was bad, and then I think they thought they wanted to take over more land, and so they thought they were superior, and so they gave the Africans and Indians the bad character. Job, the bad character,
Well, and that's the thing, too, like, they depicted Sinterklaas as this good being, that looked like them, and they gave the evil role to races other than their own.
Right.
And in order to instill, you know, dislike and fear in the children. So, I mean, that's, I don't know what the definition of racism is, but I don't know how you can look at that and say it's not.
Right. So people are not happy about the racist symbolism, and it's essentially dividing, like, places that celebrate this. A movement against the character has grown stronger, while unfortunately a white supremacy organization has moved in favor of Black Peter. So one side says that it's outright racism, while the other thinks that denying the option of dressing up as Zwart Piet goes against Dutch tradition. But in my opinion, you can just wear the clothes. You know what I mean? Just wear the elf-like clothes. Why do you have to? But anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
So, in 2017, issues arose against Zwart Piet that ended several individuals in court. So, pro-Black Piet activists and anti-Black Piet activists arrived on a narrow stretch of road that neared the parade where Sinterklaas and Black Peter were making their debut for that year's festival. Okay? The pro-Black Peter activists ended up setting up a roadblock with cars in the narrow road. So, protesters, those who were going to protest him, could not get through.
Oh.
So, this essentially obstructed their right to free protest.
Yeah.
And so, they took the pro-Black Peter activists to court.
Where was this at?
I believe it's in the Netherlands.
Where the like, home parade is.
Yeah.
Like, the
major parade. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Oof.
So, the defendants were sentenced to 80 to 240 hours of community service, but they had, like, a lot of people show up to the trial in support of them, so it was, like, a bad look. There was, like, a huge fight over it. The debate about whether Zwart Piet is a racist stereotype or folklorist character continues nonetheless. This didn't stop it. Supporters argue that the blackface isn't black. Okay, supporters say that the blackface isn't blackface, it's soot because he goes down chimneys.
Where did they ever talk about that in the tradition?
But if you look at the people that dress, like if you think about a chimney sweep,
they're just dirty.
Soot, dirt,
but
yeah.
They're not painted black.
Right. So on the other hand, people are like, then why have that on your whole face? Plus, a lot of people who dress up like Zwart Piet will exaggerate their lips, make their lips look bigger with red lipstick, and then they'll have gold earrings. Now, whether that came from the pirate tradition or the African tradition, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
or both. It could be both. It's pirate, both, right. Spaniard tradition.
Yeah.
But still. The Guardian did a piece about this. And one of the quotes that they said was, "The one good thing that comes out of the entire debate is that it forces each of us to work out what our ideas are, what kind of culture we want to live in, and what defines a country." So they're basically saying, like, instead of just having this continue, it's it's not good that it's happening, but it's good that people are realizing, hey, I don't like this. I want to stand up against it.
Right.
I'm going to speak out and I don't think this should define, I don't think, and I kind of agree with that, I don't think that what they traditionally think he looks like should define them as a country. You know what I mean? I think that they can, Zwart Piet can be whatever. Like, don't, why do you have to do blackface? Just wear the clothes, you know what
just
I mean?
Like,
I don't understand. Yeah, just wear the costume. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, that's the end of my story.
And you're sticking to it.
And I'm sticking to it. It didn't really go into the folklore as much. It did, kind of. He just beats children, essentially. Belshinkle. Not anymore, but
Belshinkle, I like Belshinkle. Did the same.
Yeah, true, true, true. So, do you think my story will keep you up at night? Or do you think you'll still be able to sleep as snug as a bug in a rug?
I It makes me mad.
Yeah.
So it'll probably keep me up a little bit. I know that there's a lot of debate nowadays in multiple countries, not just about Zwartbeet, of whether or not you celebrating a tradition can be racist or go against other people. But you can celebrate your heritage. You can celebrate the story of a fictional character without making it a race thing.
Right, that's what I think. What I said. Just wear the costume.
Yeah, you don't need to change
the colors. If you absolutely have to have Zwartbeet, like, just wear the costume.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they should get rid of him entirely, because I think originally it was not as bad of a thing.
Yeah.
It turned into a very... turned into a very demoralizing character for certain peoples, and I don't think that that tradition should be carried on.
Right.
But if originally you base it on pirates, people dress like pirates all the time.
Right, exactly.
And it should be more of a jovial thing and promote togetherness of a country rather than separating people and having little kids be picked on.
Right, yeah.
So, no, I think it's going to make me mad and probably keep me up at night, but it was a good story. You did a really good job researching it.
Thank you.
I wish I could have found as much of a background about Belschnickel. Basically, what I found is what I...
Well, I just had to do the background because I was reading... So, I didn't do the background at first, and then it was like, yeah, Zwartbeet comes in and will leave gifts in your shoes and take the carrots and hay. And I was like, what does that mean? I was like, what does that mean? And so, I had to go back and then... That's when I found out about Sinterklaas and his horse. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, that makes more sense. Because I guess it's kind of like leaving milk and cookies out or like leaving stuff out for the reindeer. But it didn't. At first I was like, this makes zero sense to me at all. But I was like, oh, okay.
But I get it. I mean, I think that the tradition could be one that is fun to celebrate, but not in the way that they're going about it today.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
So... Well, it's nice to know that free speech in the Netherlands is recognized.
Yeah, right to free protest.
And not obstructing free protest.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was one good thing that came out of this, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true.
But, I mean, what did I ask you about Belschnickel?
No, I don't think so. Oh. Well, yeah, maybe.
I don't remember. So, I guess the question is to our listeners... Mm-hmm. Will Belschnickel and Zwartbeet keep you up at night, or will you still be able to sleep as snug as bugs in a rug?
Let us know. Reach out to us on social media. Twitter and Instagram are at BIAR Podcast. Facebook is Bug in a Rug. You can email us, BIARpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought. Let us know if you know any Christmassy stories that you would like to hear.
We hope you're enjoying our countdown to Christmas.
Yes, our countdown to Christmas. We have a couple. Let us know.
This is our third episode. We have three more coming to you.
Yes.
We kind of sneak peeked one of them. I don't know if anybody caught that. I said we haven't... You figured out. Where's Waldo?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that. I have to listen when I'm editing. But yeah, let us know. Also, you can still get stickers for the Christmas season. Just leave us a review on Facebook or iTunes, screenshot it, and send it to us, and we'll send you a sticker.
With your address.
With your address, yeah. We'll mail you a sticker. It's not too late.
I don't know if it'll get there by Christmas, but it's not too late.
It's not too late.
To get stickers, we want to give you stickers.
Yeah, we want to.
We need to give you stickers.
We need to give you stickers. I already kept mine, so I'm good.
I know, I have one, and Caitlin has one, and a few other people have some that have already done reviews, so don't miss out on this opportunity.
Yeah.
For three payments of free 99.
Free payments. Free 99.
Free 99.
Oh, I didn't get it. Okay. All right, well, I guess it's time to go. Countdown to Christmas. Signing off. My name's Caitlin.
I switch you a Merry Christmas, and I'm Whitney.
Bye.
Sleep tight.